Morning and welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. Just a few announcements. On our prayer list, a couple of updates. I was informed this morning that Mary Ann Gibble is in a hospital in Berwick. I was told maybe Todd announce it, and then Barb said announce it, and it's tough if she doesn't like it if I announce it. But Barb Weidman is having a procedure done this week as well, so we want to keep Barb in our prayers as well. This week we're praying for those on page 33 in our church directory, and for those at the Conestoga Church of the Brethren and the Quakertown Church of the Brethren's praying for us. And just a reminder that we have Bible study Monday evening, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here at the church or online. Just back to the prayer list for a moment. It would be really, really helpful to me if you or someone you know very well that is having a health issue or going to the hospital. So far, I've been learning about those through "Have you heard about?" And most often it's been "No, I haven't heard about." So if you could please direct those to me, I would really appreciate that a lot. If I just call me or email me or whatever, if you've become aware of someone who's ill or going into the hospital or is in the hospital, or if you're going yourself, just let me know. I would appreciate that. As we come into this time of worship this morning, let's get into an attitude of worship as Barb leads us.
Good morning. For the call to worship this morning, I will read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now join me in singing Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 11 in the Blue Hymnal. By Jeanette Faisal.
The time was long ago.
invite the children to come up and spend some time with me up front here this morning. Why don't you sit down here, because we're going to look at some pictures up on the screen, and you're going to want to be able to look up there, okay? So, Kendall and Carter, how are you guys this morning? Good? Good? Peyton and Cameron, everybody doing okay this morning? Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit this morning about ways people sometimes communicate with each other. Do you know what communicate means? What does it mean when we communicate? Talk to each other, okay? Yeah, we might talk to each other or so on. So the first picture up here, I think you all know, you'll know what it is when it comes up there. What is that? What is it? A phone, a cell phone, okay? Now, if you use a cell phone, what kinds of things can you use a cell phone to do? Yeah. Talk? You can talk to somebody on the phone. What else can you do? Text, yeah. Send somebody messages, okay. Some people do their email on their cell phones too, okay. All right, let's look at the second picture. This is actually a picture of a TV screen, okay? And if you watch TV, that's a sportscaster up there, okay? If you're watching a sportscaster on the news, he's telling you all about the news, right? The sports news, or he's talking to you. Can you talk back to him? I mean, you can try, but he's not going to answer you, right? Okay. All right, so sometimes we have the sportscaster. Now, this next one, you might not even know what these are, but we'll try it. What are those? Newspapers, good. Okay, your parents, grandparents probably know more about newspapers. If you read a newspaper, can that kind of answer your questions, talk back to you? It can kind of answer your questions sometimes, but you can't talk to a newspaper, can you? No. Okay. One more. Some of you might have been doing a lot of this in the last, back in March, April, May, and some of you might even be doing it in a few weeks. What are those two young people doing there? So they're sitting in front of their computer, and that probably is what? Learning on the computer, Zoom, okay, or something like that. We are learning on the computer, right, okay. Now, I want you to look at one more. What are these people doing? What do you think they're doing?
Praying.
They're praying, yes, okay. So, some of those pictures that you saw there, like the cell phone and the Zoom meeting where you're getting your lessons online, you can talk back and forth with the people that are on there, right? You can talk to your teacher on the Zoom meeting, you can talk to a friend on the telephone, but on the TV, on the newspaper, you can't really communicate two ways with the person that wrote the article or the sportscaster. What about when you pray? Is that like a one-way communication, or is there a two-way communication? What do you think? You talk to God in prayer. Does God answer your prayers? He does. Okay. Now, sometimes you might hear his voice, but more often than not, your prayers, God might speak to you in different ways. God might speak to you through a Sunday school teacher or a children's church. Okay. God might speak to you through your parents teaching you how to learn, teaching you about Jesus, okay? Your grandparents might teach you about Jesus. So there's different ways that God speaks to us. I want to share a scripture with you. This is from Romans 8. And it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit, Holy Spirit, even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit can pray to God for us. And the Spirit teaches us how to pray. And I hope as you grow up and learn more about Jesus, you'll learn more about how to pray and how to listen for God's answers to your prayers. Let's say a prayer right now, okay? God, I thank you for these children, and as they grow, I pray that they will grow in knowledge of you and in relationship with you, and that as they pray to you, you will make yourself known to them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.
For the scripture, I will read from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Will you join me in the responsive reading? Heavenly Teacher, we do not always pray as we ought. Help us to speak our truth and listen for your forgiveness. When we pray, "Our Father in heaven," but forget to embrace all people as our children. When we say, "Your kingdom come," without working for your kingdom on earth. When we ask for our daily bread, but fail to forgive others. When we plead not to be led into times of trial, but walk willingly into temptation. When we honor you with our lips, but fail miserably with our lives. Lord, forgive us. Help us to pray unceasingly that we may be transformed by the renewing power of your Spirit. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this earthly world we live in, for the beauty displayed daily, and for our families, neighbors, and friends. You have given each of us individuals who help support, encourage, and guide us through our daily lives. Sometimes, though, we get caught up in the busyness of this world and need reminders that you are always available and willing to listen and direct us. May we remember that you are our greatest resource for leading our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. Guide us and help us reach the full potential for our spiritual lives. Lord, you know each one of us, our needs, strengths, weaknesses. You have instructed us to be persistent in asking for prayers to our needs. Thank you for the words in the Bible that teach us how to pray. Now we pray for those who are suffering through persecution or who are suffering mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Provide them with comfort and a sense of peace. Lord, we pray for this broken world we live in. Be with world leaders as well as our own president, vice president, and members of the legislative branch of government. Guide them to follow your principles when making policies and decisions concerning our country. Lord, we ask for your protection and guidance throughout the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our second scripture, I will read Luke 11, verses 5 through 13. And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give you a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Our message for the day will be brought by Pastor Dennis.
Let me start this morning by asking you a question. Does anyone here have this thing we call prayer all figured out? I mean, you have a prayer routine that enables you to feel connected to God, and you feel a deep and vital connection when you pray. You've been able to figure out how to pray in all situations. Do any of you have prayer all figured out? I don't see any hands. That's good, because if you raised your hand, I was going to ask you to come up here and preach this sermon. So, have you ever found yourself trying to pray and your mind wanders? You find yourself dozing off. You find yourself staring into space. And when you kind of become conscious again and realize what happens, you just kind of add that amen and get on with life. Do you ever find yourself asking questions like, is God really listening? Is God really there? Am I praying the right way? Does God answering my prayers depend on how good I am or on the words that I use? What about things like a prayer chain? If there are more people praying for a situation, does it increase the chances that God is going to answer? The Bible says to pray continually. How can I do that with my busy schedule? And really, what does that mean anyhow? And if what I'm praying for actually happens, was that God or was that just coincidence? Prayer, I think, can be one of the biggest blessings of the life of faith. And when our prayers are answered, when we feel that loving, intimate relationship with God through prayer, there's nothing like it. When you experience that voice of God, and sometimes it is a real audible voice, sometimes just thoughts. Wow. But sometimes prayer can also be one of the biggest frustrations of the life of faith. When you're praying and praying and praying and it seems that you get no answer to your prayers. When someone is suffering and you know that they're praying and their situation just doesn't change. When someone in an abusive relationship is praying that the abuse will stop, but it doesn't. When someone who is homeless or has lost a job is praying for a job or a place to live, and they get one rejection after another. When someone who's suffering from illness or injury is praying for healing and it doesn't come. When prayers are not answered, when situations just don't change, it can be really frustrating, and we can begin to question our faith and whether prayer is really worth the effort. I think that's especially true in light of some things that Jesus said about prayer. For example, his words in Mark 11:24, where he says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Or his words we heard read this morning from Luke 11:9, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you." We're working our way through Luke in this sermon series, and Luke often paints a picture of Jesus on his knees in prayer. Luke makes a point of recording those times when Jesus was in prayer. For example, at his baptism, before his baptism and prior to choosing his 12 disciples, multiple times when he would withdraw with his disciples to a quiet place to pray. One time after witnessing Jesus in prayer and desiring to learn to pray also, the disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know, often a child seeing their parent doing something wants to do what the parent is doing. I remember when Kathy's and our sons, Andy and Peter, were young and I was building something with wood or working tools on a project, they would want to be right there with some scraps of wood, a hammer and some nails, and making their own little projects. There were usually some pretty interesting looking projects when they were done. Or the times when they were eagerly anticipating the first time I would let them mow the lawn with the riding mower. For some reason, that eagerness didn't last too long. Well, similarly, the disciples witnessed Jesus praying, and they wanted to know how to pray. Would Jesus teach them, like John taught his disciples? Jesus agreed to do so, and in Luke 11, verses 2 to 4, he offers his disciples a model prayer, which is what I really think Jesus intended what we call the Lord's Prayer to be, a model. Not necessarily something that we would pray and recite over and over again, but rather a model for our own prayers. As you were learning to pray, maybe there were some prayer models that you used. Many of them are based on that model that Jesus gave us. For example, some of you maybe know that the five-finger prayer model, hands folded, thumb up first, pray for those closest to you. The pointer finger points away from us. We pray for people that point us in the right direction, like teachers and pastors and our brothers and sisters in Christ. The middle or tall finger, pray for leaders in the church, in government, and in our community. Your ring finger, your weakest finger, pray for those who are sick, in poverty, are being treated poorly. And lastly, the pinky, pray for yourself. There's another one, the Acts model. Maybe some of you are aware of that one. A for adoration, praising God for who he is. C for confession, owning our sins and asking for forgiveness. T for thanksgiving, thanking God for all he's done. And S for supplication, prayers of request for ourselves and for others. Another different and ancient model is called Lectio Divina, or divine reading, which combines the reading of Scripture and prayer. In this model, you read a passage of Scripture slowly, maybe in several different translations, and you spend some time meditating on it and asking yourselves questions such as, what is the passage saying? What is God saying to me through the passage? And then you pray the text by putting yourself, maybe even your name, into the text, and then responding to God, conversing with God about the passage and his will that's been revealed in it for your life. Then just spending some time contemplating and focusing on God and resting in his presence. Well, there are many models for prayer that can be helpful in teaching us how to pray, in focusing our prayers and in growing in our prayer life. Maybe prayer isn't hard for you. If it's not, I'm glad for you. But for many, it is. And maybe what makes it hard is that we just want to know how it works. Like Jesus' disciples, we want to know how we are to pray. But in worrying about how to pray, maybe we look at prayer wrongly, seeing prayer as a mechanism, some magical formula, as a skill we can practice and maybe someday actually master. Although Jesus started this teaching on prayer with that model prayer, he didn't stop at that. He wanted to make sure his disciples understood that prayer isn't just about following a pattern, a model, a mechanism, or a formula, even though they might be helpful as teaching tools. Several years ago, we took our grandkids to see Thomas the Train down at the Strasbourg Railroad, and we also took the regular train ride out to Paradise and back again. And while we were stopped in Paradise, waiting for the engines to come around to the other end of the train, a guy dressed as Santa Claus came up to the train. And our grandson, Will, he was about five or so at the time, went to the window and called out to Santa, "You forgot to bring me a scooter last year." Well, evidently he'd asked Santa for a scooter and Santa just didn't follow through and bring him one. So he couldn't pass up that opportunity to remind jolly old Saint Nick. When they want something, children can be very persistent. Sometimes we parents call it whining. Well, whether it's persistence or whining, if you've been there with your own children or grandchildren, you know what it's like. They can wear you down. Jesus follows his model prayer with a story and a lesson about being persistent in prayer. And I really like the NIV reading of Luke 8. Speaking of the persistence of that one who keeps knocking at the door, the NIV reads this way: "Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Shameless, blatant, brazen, outrageous, undisguised, unconcealed. Audacity, boldness, daring, willingness to take risks. Some translations, like the New Revised Standard we heard this morning, use the word persistence, which I think is putting Jesus' intent here rather mildly. Others use the word impudence, which has a little bit more forceful implication of audacity or brazenness. I mean, who other than Jesus would encourage us to be annoying with God? Jesus said we should be as shameless and as irritating in our prayers as that noisy neighbor, that noisy friend pounding on the door at midnight. Some of you might be familiar with Richard Foster's book on prayer. In it, he quotes Walter Wink, who says this: "Biblical prayer is impertinent, persistent, shameless. It is more like haggling in an outdoor bazaar than the polite monologues in the churches." And looking at some of the prayers in Scripture, we can see this haggling kind of prayer. Abraham bargaining with God over the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. Moses arguing with God in Exodus 32. And read some of the prayers in the Psalms. I think Walter Wink is right. Jesus tells us to be shameless and audacious prayers. In Luke chapter 18, in the parable of the persistent widow, Jesus says, "Will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" Luke says that Jesus told stories like this one about the noisy friend pounding on the door and the persistent widow to teach us that we should pray always and not lose heart. Sometimes I think maybe we're almost afraid to pray that way, thinking that we might in some way be expressing irreverence or we might offend God. And I think this whole idea of persistence is hard for us who live in this age of instant gratification. We like things that give us instant feedback: a smartphone, an iPad, an electronic game. Just got a new laptop computer because my old one was taking too long to do anything. The new one's amazingly fast, and I admit, I really like it. Over the years, Kathy and I have both taught private music lessons. If you're going to learn to play a musical instrument, you've got to practice. But a lot of students seem to expect that musical instrument was going to play itself like a computer or an electronic game. Practice? Why should I do that? In your praying, do you ever find yourself praying for some situation or need once or twice, and when nothing seems to change, you quit praying for it, and you wonder what was wrong with your praying that God didn't answer? Shameless, persistent, audacious prayer. What is it? Being a pastor, especially a brethren pastor who does not wear a clerical collar, I've sometimes been asked, "Well, what do I call you? Reverend? Pastor?" I've even gotten father, but my reply is usually, "Dennis or Pastor Dennis is fine," or even in good old Anabaptist fashion, "Brother Dennis would do as well." Well, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he blew them out of the water with his first words. when you pray, say, Father. To any faithful Jew, that would have been stunning. To address God as Father would have been shocking. When I was teaching, I had a colleague who was a Messianic Jew, and when he would send me emails, he would never spell out the word God. He would always write G-D. Shameless prayer begins with the realization of the intimate relationship God desires to have with us. When you pray, say, Father. In his same book, Richard Foster says, we're encouraged to crawl into the Father's lap and receive his love and comfort and healing and strength. We can laugh and we can weep freely and openly. We can be hugged and find comfort in his arms. The image of this parent-child relationship flows through Jesus' teaching on prayer. One of the joys of parenthood and grandparenthood is when your child, without any prompting, just comes up and hugs you and says, I love you, and then curls up next to you. And then, yeah, at some point they go through some sort of teenage rebellion. But as a parent, I think what's even more gratifying is when they put that rebellion behind them and they realize that maybe you weren't so out of it after all. And they start demonstrating their love as an adult. When they send you a card, they actually remembered your birthday or anniversary. When they call you, or more often these days, text you. When they actually start to worry about you, wow, they really do care. God's like that. God wants us to curl up next to him, laugh with him, weep with him, be totally honest with him, with our condition and about our needs and wants. That is shameless prayer. In spite of all the questions about prayer, there's one thing I believe that is absolutely true, that God deeply wants to hear from us. God deeply wants to be in relationship with us. So Jesus tells his disciples to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking, to knock and keep on knocking, with the promise that God will respond. So Jesus brings them back to this parent-child relationship again, and he says, you fathers, if your child asks for a fish, do you give him a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Jesus gives us this glimpse of God who loves us so much that he will give us what we need, even if it's not what we want. Even if we don't wind up with any of the things we thought we needed, we will always end up with God listening and answering our prayers in ways we haven't imagined, in God's way and in God's good timing. So Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be a shamelessly audacious prayer. With that kind of persistence, you're challenging God to keep his promises. Now, some might find that statement risky or even offensive. Dare we challenge God? Well, yes, we can. Look at those prayers in the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, and you'll see that Walter Wink was right. Biblical prayer is impertinent, persistent, shameless, indecorous. God wants us to pour out ourselves to him in prayer, gut-wrenching, soul-searching, honest and authentic expressions of who we are and where we are in our lives. God wants us to cry out to him like those biblical prayers. God, are you there? God, do you hear me? God, you promised. Will you keep your promises? That persistence, that shameless audacity in the end does more for us, I believe, than for God. God knows our need, but sometimes we really don't. What we think is our need might not really be our need. Persisting in prayer, pouring our hearts and souls out to God, helps us to clarify our need and recognize God's work in our lives. Persisting in prayer is daring to believe that things can be different, that things can change in our lives, in the lives of others, and in the world. Persistent prayer believes that God will keep his promises. It's really believing your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, what might prevent us from being shameless prayers? I suppose there's any number of things, but let me suggest two simple thoughts or questions that might creep into our thinking, which stand in stark contrast to what Jesus is teaching his disciples here. First, some may ask, why should I keep asking God for things he already knows I need? Well, if you're married, have you ever found yourself saying to your spouse, or your spouse saying to you, you mean you can't read my mind? Well, God can read our minds, yes, but he would much rather we tell him what is on our minds. He'd much rather us ask him because God likes to be asked. Second, some may ask, why should I bother God with all the little details of my life? I'm sure he has more important things to worry about than my wants and needs. Jesus makes it clear that that is not the case. You are the most important thing to God. You are his child, and you are important to him, and God wants to be asked. It is a false humility to hold back and not share your deepest needs. God's heart is wounded by this kind of reticence. Think about it. Your child comes home from school, and you ask him how their day was, and you get, okay, and a shoulder shrug, and they go off to their room. How's it make you feel? Unimportant to them? Not valued by them? But if they start telling you every detail of the day, then it's a whole different feeling. God wants to hear about the details of our lives. He's our Father, a Father more fatherly than any earthly father. And then Jesus brings his teaching on prayer to a close. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you everything you ask for? Oh, wait, no, that's not what it says. He said, your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. In his teaching and prayer, Jesus has been talking about God's holiness, forgiveness, physical needs, about not being tested, about persistently asking, seeking and knocking, about fish and snakes, eggs and scorpions. So why does he suddenly bring the Holy Spirit into this teaching? I think Paul can help us out on this. In Galatians 4:6, Paul writes, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And in Romans 8:26-27, the scripture I read for the children, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Why does Jesus bring the Holy Spirit into this lesson on prayer? Because God is present with us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit cements that bond between God and his children. The Spirit enables us to know God as our Father. And also because prayer isn't always easy, and the Spirit can do for us what we're unable to do for ourselves. You know, often when people are hospitalized, they have those oxygen tubes wrapped around their ears and inserted into their nostrils. Well, just as those tubes supply life-giving oxygen to those who need it, the Holy Spirit breathes into us, giving us the words for prayer, giving us the desire to pray, giving us that shameless audacity to speak with God and tell him our needs. And maybe more importantly, speaking for us when we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is the conduit for our prayers. So maybe our first prayer should be to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Well, prayer is many things. Martin Luther said that the might of prayer is so great that it has overcome both heaven and earth. And he even speaks of conquering God in the sense that in our shameless praying, we're seeking to bind God to his own promises. Biblical prayer is impertinent, persistent, shameless. Prayer is praise. Prayer is thanksgiving. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is questioning. Prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking. Prayer is arguing. Prayer is lamenting. Perhaps most fundamentally, though, prayer is being totally honest with God about our lives, our challenges, our hurts, and asking God for what we most need and desire, shamelessly, persistently, and honestly. Prayer is opening our hearts, minds, and souls and spirits to God, pouring out the deepest desires and needs in our hearts. God wants to hear. God's answers might not be immediately obvious to us, but he will answer. That is the promise, and God fulfills his promises. You know, when you look at it carefully, Jesus' model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is really one of those shameless prayers. Think about it. There's no pleading in the Lord's Prayer. There's no, if it be your will. The verbs used in the Lord's Prayer are imperative in mood, exhorting God to act. How did Jesus say we should pray? Father, whose name is holy, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Jesus' model prayer challenges us to be shamelessly audacious prayers. Does that describe your prayer life and your relationship with God? Let's close this morning by standing and praying together with shameless audacity the model prayer Jesus gave to his disciples. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. God wants to hear what's going on in your life. God wants you to talk to him shamelessly, audaciously. Pray regularly. Pray out to him. Cry out to him with those deepest needs in your heart. And God will answer. God wants to hear. God loves you. Go in his peace and go in his love. Amen.